You're listening to State of the Reunion. I'm Al Edson. And now, with all this hard history between Native Hawaiians and sugar, you might think that the legacy of plantations in Hawaii is all dark. But some aspects of Hawaiian life that connect back to sugar are celebrated.
That big one there is the Chinese house. I believe this is the Portuguese house. And then the next one over is the Puerto Rican house.
From this cluster of houses in the town of Waipahu, you can see the smokestack of what was once the Oahu Sugar Company. In the 90s, other parts of the world started producing sugar cheaper, and that set off a wave of plantation closures. But there's still a little microcosm of plantation life left here, thanks to Hawaii's Plantation Village. This little enclave is a living museum reflecting plantation life. And to Austin Diaz, it feels like home. He grew up on a plantation just like it on Kauai.
Actually, the first house I lived in on the plantation was pretty much looked like these houses, you know, pretty rudimentary, you know, single wall, wooden.
The plantation where Austin lived held a diverse group of people, and that gets at one of the biggest legacies of sugar here, Hawaii's multicultural population. See, in the early days of sugar, there weren't enough Hawaiians to work the fields, so Chinese migrants were brought in. Next, Portuguese migrants came in, then Japanese, and when that group made noises about unionizing, other groups from Puerto Rico, Korea, the Philippines were brought in as a threat to those wanting to organize.
In a plantation town, the Portuguese were in one section of the town, the Japanese were here, the Filipinos were here, and the object was to keep them apart because they wanted to avoid them getting together, mixing, intermarrying, and then forming a big block of power.
But that only worked so long.
It happened anyway. It was inevitable. You couldn't keep them apart.
Austin himself is proof. He was born to a Portuguese father and a Korean mother, but growing up, he was cared for by a Filipino relative. As an adult, he became a Spanish professor and now hangs out mostly with Puerto Ricans. You can't pin one race or culture on him if you tried. And evidence of that ethnic mixing is everywhere in Hawaii. Though it's not uncomplicated. For our next couple of stories, we dive into that. And this next one is from So True producer Tina Antolini. And because it's Tina, you know it has to do with food.
Yep, because one of the best ways to experience the multicultural legacy of the sugar plantations in Hawaii is to eat it.
We have fried chicken, fried fish, fried spam, and teriyaki beef with the sauce drizzled over it, all on top of white short grain rice and takuans. It's radish pickle from Japan, bright yellow, and mayonnaise. I mean, what's not to love?
What Kaui Philpotts is describing is called the Zip Pack. It's a smorgasbord of fried meats and rice at this chain restaurant called Zippy's. It's a quintessentially local kind of place.
Because, I mean, look around you. You know, it's every nationality. It is the perfect combination of food that came from the plantation, things that people love.
Kaui grew up on a sugar plantation on Maui before becoming a newspaper reporter and then food editor at the Honolulu Advertiser. She says the Zip Pack, with its rice and mix of meats from various ethnic traditions, has its roots in the sugar industry.
It goes back to the plantation field workers. It was hard, dirty work, you know, hot, and they got up really early. Anyway, they would eat right there in the fields. And so they would pack lunches.
If you were Filipino, maybe your main dish would be chicken asado. Korean, the sweet and salty ribs called kalbi. I love those. And even though you might have been living surrounded only by your own ethnic group, at lunchtime out in the field, everyone ate together.
It came out of the sharing, because, you know, you'd sit next to a Japanese guy or a Portuguese guy and you go, your lunch looks really good, I want some. And then you take some of theirs and
trade up, I'll give you some of my kalbi for some of your asado.
Yeah.
Eventually, those shared lunch tins evolved into what's become an omnipresent staple of life in Hawaii. The plate lunch.
Well, the classic plate lunch is some kind of protein fried. Then you add to that lots of brown gravy, and that's over two scoops of rice and a scoop of mac salad with lots of mayo. That's the classic.
And even as the plantations closed and people were no longer doing the hard labor that demanded such heavy food, the plate lunch has lived on. You can even find it in the hippest parts of Honolulu.
Yeah, we're at a new restaurant called Highway Inn, which is actually very old, 3 generations old. They've taken a very old traditional plantation style venue and they've kind of updated it.
Highway Inn is a restaurant that got its start in the plantation town of Waipahu in the 1940s, but it's just opened this new outpost. Food writer Arnold Hira grew up in a Japanese family on a plantation on the Big Island. He says, as the sugar plantations fade into history, the food, the plate lunches, serve as a kind of bridge between the Hawaii of then and the Hawaii of now. And they feed a growing nostalgia about plantation life.
Instead of saying, oh, you know, it was terrible, we were exploited, we had no money, well, most of it probably true, but people say, oh, you know, we miss the old days. Those were good times.
In fact, Arnold says, there are plantation reunions now. People coming back to what once were sugar plantations to gather with others who lived there, kind of like family reunions.
And everybody shows up. I mean, hundreds of people come. And then they bring food. Some people who haven't seen each other for years and years hug and cry, and it's an amazingly emotional event.
It may seem odd to celebrate a time that held so much pain for the people of Hawaii, but Arnold says what they're really celebrating is something much more important, the spirit of aloha that they all take pride in.
You know, back when people ate what they had, and shared what they had, and made do with what they had, and stretched enough so that everybody could be fed. I think that's reflective of some of the more positive values that we treasure, not just in Hawaii, but anywhere. Humility, generosity, tolerance. These are big terms, you know, but I think it's reflected in the food. You exercise it every time you eat.